Father, I truly do thank you for being with us tonight. I thank you for all those, Father, who came out to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Prepare them, their hearts for this message tonight, Father, because it's a hard message. But it's one you want us to hear. And Father God, I thank you for what you did during praise and worship. I felt it. I felt it hitting the people, your love, your compassion, your grace, long-suffering. Now, Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over each one that the enemy can't steal what they received during praise and worship. And Father, we give you all honor and all glory, for we know that all of heaven is in this room tonight, and we have absolutely nothing to fear. For you have hidden us in your shadow, and you are keeping us safe. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I finally run across that scripture again. So let's read Matthew 5:38 in the Message Bible. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. I had to laugh and laugh when I read that. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice a servant life. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. Y'all need to read 44 all over again. 45 says, for then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless the good and bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up, your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out our God-created identity, live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. So verse 40 is the one God's been dealing with me about. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. In other words, if God takes something from you, just give him something extra. Say, here, might as well have this as a bonus, right? I've entitled this, Men's Hearts Fail, because that's how God started. There will come a time when men's hearts will faint over the things coming upon the earth. They will have no solid ground to stand on and run to and fro, never being able to find the peace they so desperately need. When the great exodus into sin began, I pleaded with my houses of worship to walk in holiness and righteousness, but they would not. I warned them there would come a day when they would be unable to, but still they laughed me to scorn. Now the hour is upon you, the hour of total degradation, the hour of absolute fear. All right. There will come a time when men's hearts will faint over the things coming upon the earth. That time is upon us. I want to say something here before I forget. During praise and worship, we were singing that one song about how much God loves us, and God said, y'all don't need Barbara. when God's dealing with you about something in your life, you don't need me. You need to go to a prayer closet and cry out to Jesus. And she said she got on her knees. But that really struck me. And you really don't need me. You need Jesus. When he's dealing with you, you need to do like some of these other people that have been given their testimony. They got alone with God and cried out to him and said, God, deal with me. Take this mess from me. Just like I said this morning, I no longer want it. I don't want to be sick any longer. I can't help you. I can listen to you, but I can't help you. I've given you the word, and the word is what you have to lean on now. What did her father tell her? He gave her the Bible. He said the red letters is what you need. Okay, so the hour of total degradation, the hour of absolute fear is now upon the earth, and we know that. This is God speaking now. God says, pay attention to the signs around you. Watch the weather patterns as they change. Then he said, debriefing time is finished. You know what that is, don't you, Alan? And all-out war has come upon you. God has been warning us about this hour coming. And he's been telling us you're not going to be ready when it comes. And it's here. And people are not ready for it. And Luke 21:25 says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear in the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then God said, anxiety upon anxiety will overtake the people. Their brush with darkness will now become gross darkness all around them. Let's read that again. Anxiety upon anxiety will overtake the people. Their brush with darkness will now become gross darkness all around them. And John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God has told us that all this junk is coming down. But those who are so close to him that you can't tell who's Jesus and who's who, God's going to keep. If you're not that close to God, he doesn't have to keep you. He said he's been trying to keep you secure in his loving arms, but you keep going out of his loving arms and back into the degradation of the world. And the problem with some of you, and this is just what he's saying, is you don't want to believe what he's showing you is inside of you, so you go into denial and then do all kind of dumb things. You're going to have to start taking the bull by the horn and saying, God, if this is what you're showing me, then this is me, and I need to take care of this. And how do you take care of that? By crying out to your Father. God said, they will say, you give us no hope, and that will be correct. For I gave them warnings after warnings, and they would not bend. Now it is too late. The gnashing of teeth has begun first in the house of the Lord. You ridiculed my son's name. You spit on my prophets, and now you are weighed in the balance and found wanting. God says, no more church as usual. I am changing the inner structure and will have a bride without spot or wrinkle. And he gave me this one, what was it, just the other day, January the 10th. No more church as usual. I am changing the inner structure and will... See, I like that. He's changing the inner structure. He's changing how church is being conducted. And as the people come through the doors, he's working on them, and it's up to them. Either receive him 100% or don't receive him at all, because he doesn't want your 99.9. This sounds hard, but I'd rather hear a hard message than end up in hell. I'd rather have the opportunity to get myself totally 100% right. Because when you stand before God, you're not going to be able to say, well, Pastor Barbara didn't tell me. Yes, Pastor Barbara did. You just didn't want to hear it. And you liked what you had in the darkness, and you wouldn't let go of it. So you won't be able to blame it on me. And God just spoke to me the other day. He said, daughter, you never have to walk backwards to me. You're in my will. You're doing what I'm telling you to do. You can walk me to me face to face. Each one of you need to hear that for yourself. You need to hear God say, you don't have to back up and walk because you aren't doing what I'm telling you to do. Aren't you glad you had that good thing this morning? Amen. See, your hearts are prepared, and you know that you've got yourself together. All right, Luke 13:28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. And what did God tell us years ago? If you don't get it together and you won't get into the river, when the river starts flowing, you're going to be standing on the riverbank with weeping and gnashing of teeth because you won't be able to get in. He gave us a chance year after year after year. In fact, he would say, this is the last time I'm coming. He already had me preached. He's coming again after you. And God gave you time, you know, the church as a whole. God gave the church as a whole time after time after time to get it together. All right, these verses that we just read suggest that those who are not saved will experience great sorrow and regret. The phrase gnashing of teeth is often associated with anger and frustration, while weeping is a sign of sadness and grief. Together they paint a picture of intense emotional pain. See, I fear God. I love him with every fiber of my being, but I fear him just as much. I would no way on this God-given earth would I sit in the house of God and sin. No way. Because God has told us the days of Ananias and Sapphira are coming back into the church. And what happened with Ananias and Sapphira? The Holy Spirit killed them. They dropped dead right into church. And God said, those days are coming again. We don't know. Tonight you might be sitting here and all of a sudden we hear this bunch of noisy looking. Someone of you dropped dead because you have no fear of God and you brought your willful sins into the house of God, mocking God's Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what could be happening, could happen to you? All right, Ezekiel 7:25 says, terror and trembling will overcome my people. They will look for peace but not find it. Calamity will follow calamity. Rumor will follow rumor. They will look in vain for a vision from the prophets. They will receive no teaching from the priest and no counsel from the leaders. You know, there are times right now, guys, that I really don't have a word to give you, a teaching to give you. I have to pray and I have to pray and I have to pray. And finally, at the last minute, God will give me something. Because it's really, he's given you everything he can give you. And you haven't acted on any of it. So what else is there to say except you're finished? Are you listening here? All right, verse 27 says, the king and the prince will stand helpless, weeping in despair, and the people's hands will tremble with fear. I will bring on them the evil they have done to others. See that? And they will receive the punishment they so richly deserve. Then they will know that I am the Lord. God says, woe unto anybody that makes a little child stumble. And a little child is grown-up people, you know. Somebody comes in, they're hurting real desperately, and you have a lustful spirit, and you lust after that person. You cause them to stumble. Because they come in the house of God to get healed. They didn't come into the house of God for you to maul them more than what they've already been mauled. They didn't come in the house of God to see hate. They saw that out that door before they could walk through these doors. It's shame to say they see it when they come through these doors too. It grieves my spirit to see that hate that's in the Lighthouse Church. It should never be. But you're going to be judged for that. All right, God said, what you thought was yours is not yours. This didn't make some sense to me. And what you thought was not yours is yours. So let's read that again. What you thought was yours is not yours. What you thought was not yours is yours. Excuse me. Your ways are not mine, and your thoughts are so far beneath mine. You must come up higher, think higher, and receive all I have for you every second. Remember, God told me I think too small, and I think I'm thinking big, but he says, no, you have to think huge, large, than what you're thinking so far. So I think I'm not the only one in that boat. God said, never in the history of the church have I seen such a rebellious church. It has been desecrated to the point that you cannot tell the church from the world. And when he said that, I thought, well, that sounds like something I would say or you would say or something. But God said, never in the history of the church have I seen such a rebellious church. It has been desecrated to the point that you cannot tell the church from the world. Then he stopped. That was the end of what he had to say. So I thought we could read Daniel chapter 5. I mean, it just stopped, and I just, you know, for a couple of days, I said, God, you know, you have to finish this. He didn't say nothing, so he was finished. He's done. He just said right there, his church isn't even his church any longer. That's why he has to bring in this new breed of people he talked about this morning. They're tired of being trapped. They're tired of being stepped on. And they're going to show the devil who's boss. And I hope and pray that some of you are one of those that he can use who has decided, I'm finished. And, you know, just like this praise and worship, he really did get this praise and worship service for one person in here. And if you know if that's you, well, then you go ahead and accept it. But as he gave it to me and as he told me it was for, I cried. And I said, God, you keep pouring love and pouring love and pouring love. But they don't receive you in your love. You know, God gave me the newsletter for February already, and he's just pouring out so much love. I'd like to give it right now, but I can't because it's for the newsletter. But his love that he poured out in that newsletter is awesome. I have a father who loves me so completely and so desperately, he would move heaven and earth for me. I can't say you all do because you have to decide what kind of father you serve. I know the kind of, my father allows me to go through trials and tribulations. My father allows me to have disappointments. He allows my loved ones to go through pain. He allows me to be human. He allows me to feel all the emotions he placed within us. That does not take away his love for me. There's not a person that I have ever met in this earth could ever love me like Jesus does. And I wouldn't trade your love for the love of Jesus for nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because I know what it is to be loved, truly loved. All right, Daniel chapter 5. This is really talking about the handwriting on the wall. And I was first born again because he did say that we was found and found wanted. King Belshazzar held a great feast for his 1,000 nobles. The wine flowed freely. Belshazzar, heady with the wine, ordered that the gold and silver chalices his father Nebuchadnezzar had stolen from God's temple of Jerusalem be brought in so that he and his nobles, his wives, and concubines could drink from them. Belshazzar was drunk, and he ordered that the gold and silver chalices of his father Nebuchadnezzar, you know, they were important chalices, be brought to him so they could drink their wine in these sacred vessels and desecrate God's vessels. All right? Verse 3 says, when the gold and silver chalices were brought in, the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank wine from them. They drank the wine and drunkenly praised their gods made of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. At that very moment, the fingers of a human hand appeared and began writing on the lamp illuminated whitewashed wall of the palace. When the king saw the disembodied hand writing away. How would you feel just seeing a hand write something on a wall? That would get you undrunk, right? The king went as white as a ghost, scared out of his wits. His legs went limp and his knees knocked. He yelled out for the enchanters, the fortune tellers. See, he didn't yell out to God. Who did he call out for? The enchanters, the fortune tellers, and the diviners to come. He told these Babylonian magi, anyone who can read this writing on the wall and tell me what it means will be famous and rich, purple robe, the great gold chain, and be third in command in the kingdom. One after another they tried, but they could not make no sense of it. They could neither read what was written nor interpret it to the king. So now the king was really frightened. All the blood drained from his face. The nobles were in a panic. The queen heard of the hysteria among the king and his nobles and came to the banquet hall. She said, "Long live the king. Don't be upset. Don't sit around looking like ghosts." He tried all the devil's men. And look what his wife said. "There is a man in your kingdom who is full of the divine Holy Spirit." Now, this was in the Old Testament. "During your father's time, he was well known for his intellectual brilliance and spiritual wisdom." This was a man of God. "He was so good that your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him the head of all the magicians, enchanters, fortune tellers, and diviners. There was no one quite like him. He could do anything." I don't see that in the house of God right now. "There was no one quite like him. He could do anything, interpret dreams, solve mysteries, explain puzzles. His name is Daniel, but he was renamed Belshazzar by the king. Have Daniel called in. He'll tell you what is going on here." So Daniel was called in. The king asked him, "Are you the Daniel who was one of the Jewish exiles my father brought here from Judah? I've heard about you, that you're full of the Holy Spirit, that you've got a brilliant mind, and that you're incredibly wise. The wise men and enchanters were brought in here to read this writing on the wall and interpret it for me. They couldn't figure it out, not a word, not a syllable. But I've heard that you interpret dreams and solve mysteries. So if you can read the writing and interpret it for me, you'll be rich and famous, a purple robe, the great gold chain around your neck, and third in command in the kingdom." I like Daniel's answer. Daniel answered the king, "You can keep your gifts or give them to someone else, but I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means." See, prophetic is not for sale. We've never charged for a tape, and we never will. It's a voice of God, and it's free. This is what he said. "Listen, O king, the high God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar a great kingdom and a glorious reputation. Because God made him so famous, people from everywhere, whatever their race, color, and creed, were totally intimidated by him. He killed or spared people on whim. He promoted or humiliated people comparatively." People were afraid of the true man of God. We don't scare anybody. Come on. "He developed a big head and a hard spirit." He's talking about the king. "Then God knocked him off his high horse and stripped him of his fame. He was thrown out of human company, lost his mind, and lived like a wild animal. He ate grass like an ox and was soaked by heaven's dew until he learned his lesson, that the king rules human kingdoms and puts anyone he wants in charge." If you think you're all that and then some, God will show you who you are not. You don't build yourself up. If God wants you built up, he will build you up. If you build yourself up, your building is going to fall. Verse 22 says, "You are his son and have known all this, yet you're as arrogant as he ever was." Look at you, setting yourself up in competition against the master of heaven. "You had the sacred chalices from his temple brought into your drunken party so that you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines could drink from them. You used the sacred chalices to toast your gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, blind, deaf, and imbecile gods. But you treat with contempt the living God who holds your entire life from birth to death in his hand." "Then was the part of the hand sent from the presence of the Most High God, and this writing was inscribed." And this is the prophet telling him what it said. And this is the inscription that was written, Mina, Mina, Tikal, Appraisen. Numbered, numbered, weighed, and divisions is what that means. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mina, God has numbered the days of your kingship and brought them to an end. Tikal, you are weighed in the balance and are found wanting. Perez, your kingdom and your kingship are divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that was foretold of in Isaiah 21, 2, 5, and 9 verses. Then Belshazzar commanded, and Daniel was clothed with purple and a chain of gold put about his neck, and a proclamation was made concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. During that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And see, God said he was going to die. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom. He was about 62 years old. I'm just hearing God say, I'm going to strip some in the house of God of your mantles because your kingdom is finished, because you have not done what I've told you to do. You have not told the truth to my people, and my people have perished for lack of knowledge. He said, I've called you forth as a prophet of the Most High God to speak my words and my words only. But you and your arrogance building yourself up, you decide to do mixture. And I will not tolerate that. God gave me a prophetic word about the true and false prophets. It's not a very good word. He's not happy with what's going on in the prophetic circle. He's definitely not happy with the false prophets that are coming on the scene. People are accepting the false prophets because their false prophets are telling them what they want to hear. And they are coming against the true prophets, and they are trying to destroy them. And God said, if you're going to be in the prophetic word he gave me, he said, if you're going to be a prophet at all, you'll probably get it. We'll probably post it. If you're going to be a prophet of mine, then you have to walk in holiness and righteousness. I won't use and tolerate anything tainted. My people need to sit under the truth. They need to sit under holiness and righteousness. And what you're doing is in vain. You know, he's talking about false prophets. You know, one of my biggest things is I never want to be a false prophet. I've been accused of that many, many times. But I know what God speaks through me, what he doesn't, and I know why some of the things he speaks into your life don't come to pass. You messed up your prophetic word. I didn't. And somebody even said, well, if everything's written out in a book, then why does he even speak it if he knows it's not going to come to pass? Yes, God does know you, but God's given you a chance to get it together. He's given you encouragement. He's given you hope. And I'm also saying he's given you wisdom. But what do you do with all the things he gives you? He said, you turn them into darkness. You degrade my word I speak to you. And when God was moving this morning, God said, I'm not going to say not one word to nobody. I don't want no prophetic word going forth. And I don't know how much prophetic word will go forth out of this church real soon. Because I've heard too many things that have really disturbed me. And if you just sit there and, you know, you just get a prophetic word and you just really don't believe it, it's coming forth, you're cursing my God. And, you know, I was just thinking I need to put something in a bulletin. If you don't want a prophetic word, let somebody know. And I'll make sure that you're not prophesied over, because we like to prophesy over everybody that's new to give them a word, give them encouragement. But, you know, if you don't want that, well, then we won't waste God's breath. I'm really with God speaking this. I just read the heading, and it said, God is shaking the church again, and it's very, very, very bad. What's going on in this shaking, in this end time. And we are living in an end time dispensation. If you look at the weather patterns, if you look at what's going on in the world, it's all lining up with the word of God. And people are not heeding the signs of the times. I wish that everybody in this room and the sound of my voice. Would really change your thought patterns. Have God allow God to change your thought patterns, so you think as God thinks, instead of the worldly way you always did think, and are still thinking, and because you still have that twisted mentality, it twists your word that you receive, and you don't receive it as it ought to be received. You receive it as you want to hear it. Good, bad, or indifferent. God said some of you are at the finish line and some of you are at the starting line. It's up to you which way you go. Whether you finish well or whether you start well. You know, you don't always start well. And you abort what God's wanting to do with your life. But God's saying, heads up tonight. You need to walk the straight and the narrow path in order to stay in my kingdom and become the kings and the priests that I've called you forth to become. He says, no more waywardness in the body of Christ. Do you understand that what you're doing is causing that world out there to not want Jesus Christ? But God did tell us this morning that this new generation will want only Jesus. And they're not going to take no fake Jesus. And when you think, you think that you have it all together, you don't. Maybe that's what he meant when he said, what you think is yours is yours, and what you think isn't, or however he said that. You know, you think you're all right, and you think you have it all together, but it really is not true. So whenever you think you have it made and you really don't have, what did he say? What you thought was yours is not yours. What you thought was not yours is yours. Your ways are not mine, and your thoughts are so far beneath mine. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of living the same old life, day in and day out? Of the enemy is the one who rules over you. You don't even have your own will. He has your will captured. And you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're not even doing what you want to do. You're doing what the devil's making you do. But there's a way of escape. There's a way of escape. God's given us that way in his word. He's given us that way in the red letters in his word. And I know God told me early on, read the red letters when I was complaining and see what happened to my son Jason, see what he did. And now I notice a lot of people are saying that. Get in the word and read the red letters. Jesus is revealing to everybody, and God's revealing to everybody that red letters are the truth. And we can live by those red letters. But I'm hearing God, some of you don't care about the blood of my son. You trample on it day in and day out. And you blame everybody else for it. But you truly have not come and sacrificed your flesh to me to get rid of the sin nature that's in you. That's sad. Really sad. God must be giving us visions right now. I had to weep over Sister Brenda today because twice God showed me how powerfully he's going to use her. I finally told her that far left, even though God said he wouldn't give no prophetic words. I did tell her that. I wished I saw that in everybody in this room. I really do. I know Brenda from way back. I know her where she was, and I know where she's at today. Seeing God does too. He knew the in-between that she was going to have to go through, you know, both of you as a couple. But, you know, we already know that Merlin's, God's really got him wrapped around every finger he has, right? And he's going to do great and powerful work. I really want God to show me that about each one of you. I do pray for you, whether you believe it or not. And I do weep over you when I see that you're not going to make it. There is a way of escape because the Word of God says so. It says that Jesus was tempted in every way that man is, but he's made a way of escape. You don't have to stay in your bondage. Do you know how sometimes how frustrated it is for the deliverance people? They do deliverance on people, and they tell them right up front, this is going to take a while because there's a lot in there. You have to watch what you say, because if you say the wrong thing, it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. You know, if you don't word it just right, you know, it just goes on and on. You're supposed to be having a deliverance, but you really don't want the deliverance because, well, no, let me word this differently. The enemy in you doesn't want you to have that deliverance, so he's arguing. And he's putting out ultimatums to the deliverance ministers. You know, God said to me the other day, he said, my son Jesus got frustrated. So why do you think you can't get frustrated? We were talking about deliverance. I got frustrated with somebody he was working on. And I said, God, I'm really sorry. And that's when he told me that. He says, my son has every emotion that you'll ever have. So he says, don't worry about your emotions. Just make sure you're walking in love. So how many of you are really walking in love? Real love. You know, if somebody does something bad to you, you go home and buy them a gift. Don't put poison in the cake. Now, can't do that. God said, this is a very, very important thing today that he's speaking to you people. And when he was doing this, I wept. Because none of you have to go to hell. There is a way of escape for everybody in this room or in the sound of my voice. And it's Jesus. All I am is a vessel that opens these doors so that God can minister to his people. That's all that I am. And like I told you this morning, I feel like I'm special because my mother said I was special in her womb. And I feel like I'm special because God said we came from heaven, not just me, everybody in this room. And you see, if you'll just see yourself as special, if you'll just see yourself as different, that's not a cult. That's the Bible. We are supposed to be a peculiar people. In other words, we're not supposed to look and act like the world. And the reason why people look and act like the world, because if you say, if like I just said, we're special, and we come from heaven, they, that's a cult, that's this, that's it, you know, and then the people won't believe that because some dimwit over here that isn't saved told you that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have called you dimwit, but that's all right. Who are you really? If you're not a special child of God, you know, like when I said, God, I was 50 years old when he called me. I said, God, I wasted 50 years of my life. He said, no, you didn't. You were in training. I brought you forth for such a time as this. This is when I want to use you. How did he use me? I was evangelist. I told the churches, you're going to hell. That's exactly what I did for years. Every place I went, it was filled with pastors, and God would prophesy to them and tell them exactly what they were doing wrong. He doesn't do that right now, and I don't know why, but thank God he didn't, because that got me in a lot of trouble. But still in all, God was trying to clean up the church 40 years ago. I said trying because it didn't work. And now God's gone a different direction, so where are you at in this different direction? Are you really wanting to be a true child of God, walking in holiness and pureness of heart, telling the truth and only truth, no matter what it costs you? If you notice the songs, God said we were going to have a change in your music. Remember that a while back? God said that. If you notice the words, the music's come out telling all about the hurt, the pain that you experience, not about this, oh, and everything is happy-go-lucky and joy, joy, joy. Now the truth is being told through songs, and it's ministering to people, setting people free. And God's doing a lot of different things because he's addressing the pain that's deep down inside of us. He started with me first, showing me the pain I had, I didn't know I had, that I had buried so deeply. And as I let him uncover it and bring it up, it hurt. It makes you feel like a fool to think that you didn't know, you buried it so deep, you didn't know it was even there. Like Jesus went on a treasure hunt and found all the treasure. bad treasure that was tarnished, but I'm free. I'm free. Because I'm free, I can speak freedom to you. If you don't go through anything, how are you going to convince somebody else God is good? Right? You're going to have to experience something. And I was really pure as far as perversion goes. And when God put me in the middle of perversion, I just thought I'd just soon die and go to heaven. But I had to go through that so I could understand what perversion was all about. I mean, I didn't do perversion, but I got around everybody's doing perversion. So I could help people. See, and that was terrible. But it grew me up. And I know the devil's a liar. And I know you don't have to bow to perversion. I don't care what kind it is. You don't have to bow to it. The enemy has had us bound too long. Are you really ready tonight for God to set you free? Totally and completely free. And you know, somebody says to me, are you going to go to heaven? I say this every day. I say, I don't know. I tell my grandson, I don't know. I could be living for God 100% and do something stupid and die and go to hell. The devil could give me a heart attack and I could die and go straight to hell. Remember the pastor who his wife slapped him and she said, forgive me, and he wouldn't do it. He got in his car and had an accident and died and went to hell. Because he went, you know, and he lived his life for God all of his life. So I don't want you sitting here thinking you're going to go to heaven. I want you sitting here and think, God, by your grace, I'll go to heaven. As I stay in your presence and you lead, guide, and direct me, then I'll go to heaven. No, I don't have a secure, in my mind, I don't have a secure place in heaven. Because God always told me, daughter, always remember, you work out your own salvation daily. So when you come with me with this junk, once saved, always saved, I don't want to hear that. Because when God says work out your salvation daily, that means you could lose it. Isn't that right? Yes, it's right. So yes. So where are you at tonight? Where are you truly at? Revival's getting ready to hit like we've never seen it before. The doors of the churches are going to be just wide open. Miracles after miracles are going to be happening. And God is trying to get a core of people who can be the leaders to help these people that are going to be destitute when they walk through those doors. Are you one of those? Are you one of those that want to be used so desperately by God that you'll give him everything you have the night that you know it's not of him? The altar's open. It's empty out time. You've given him a little, this is what he's saying, you've given him a little here and a little there. Tonight it's empty out time. He wants it all 100%. Nothing held back.